There's a famous story of a time when Ananda and Buddha were together. Ananda was the cousin of the Buddha. He became a monk and was, for about 20 years, was the Buddha's closest attendant. Followed him along and said to have had a very good memory. And so he memorized a lot of the teachings that the Buddha gave and was one of the people responsible for preserving them down through the time. So they were very close. Ananda, you can see, seen as a very, very intimate disciple of the Buddha. And at one point they found themselves alone in some setting. And Ananda said to the Buddha, "I think that half of the holy life, half of spiritual life, is association with, is friendship. Is good spiritual friends, is association, is friendship with what is beautiful." And the Buddha said, "Oh, don't say that." He said, "The entire spiritual life, the entire holy life, is association with good spiritual friends. Association with is friendship with that which is beautiful." And there's some ambiguity in the words. That's why I translated it in two different ways. But it's usually taken to be the first way, that he said half the spiritual life is association with good spiritual friends. And the Buddha said, no, it's the entire life. And it's quite a powerful statement to be made about the role of community, role of other people in our spiritual life. The word that's being used here is kalyanamitta. And kalyanamitta means friend. And kalyana means lovely, beautiful, that which is good, wonderful. And it's usually taken to be a synonym for kind of spiritual or spiritual life, which is considered to be the ultimately beautiful thing. And so it puts a very strong emphasis on the role of community, of friendship at least, with other people who are practicing, other people who are developing themselves, good qualities. And it might come as a surprise to many people that Buddhist spirituality puts such a strong emphasis on practicing together with others and having good spiritual friends. But that idea is also enshrined, and maybe in the idea of the triple refuge, and the idea that one of the central spiritual movements or steps or commitments of a Buddhist is to what's called the triple gems, or the three treasures. And that's the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha. And it could be, if you ask, you know, what is a Buddhist life? One thing is to say, what is Buddhist beliefs? But Buddhists are less interested in beliefs than how we live our lives. And so the question more appropriately would be, what is a Buddhist life? And one answer to that question, is many answers, many aspects to it, but one is that it's a committed life. It's a life that's committed in some way. And the question is, what is it committed to? And the classic framework is it's committed to the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha. And the Buddha here is certainly means the Buddha as a person, his awakening. But that doesn't have much real meaning in terms of spiritual life unless we somehow understand that it's for us to become awakened ourselves. It's for us to follow in the footsteps of the Buddha, follow the path that he set down, and somehow discover our own potential to liberate ourselves, liberate our hearts, liberate our minds, become more compassionate and loving and more free. And so the first commitment then is to the Buddha, or to this freedom of heart, freedom of mind, this liberation from all the things that the fears and the hates and the greed, the ambition, the confusion, which keeps the luminosity of our inner life, our heart, from shining. And the second is the Dharma. And the Dharma is conventionally is called the teachings of the Buddha. But again, the teachings of the Buddha are pointing towards something. And so it's that which is being pointed towards, which is really the Dharma. It's pointing towards a path of practice. It's pointing towards a path of practice. And those transformations that occur to the psyche as people engage in that path. And so So that That's the Dharma, the kind of the truth of the path, the truth that are attained in living the path and being transformed and changed. And so there's a commitment by Buddhists then towards that transformation and that path. And then the final refuge is that of the Sangha. And Sangha means like an association. It's a Sanskrit or Pali word that means, some people have translated it as a simple word, means association or society. And I think the Insight Meditation Society, the first retreat center we have in the East Coast, my guess is they chose the word society because it was an English translation of Sangha. But it's just a society, an association of people. And as a refuge, the Sangha is association with those people who are also engaged in waking up, in being mindful, living a compassionate life, who are dedicated to the first of these two refuges, who somehow the awakened mind and the path to the awakening mind is the commitment that people are living by. And so there's a commitment then, in a sense, to the community, of being living with the community, engaging the community life, and sharing one's own life with a wider community. My first motivation to live in community, in a spiritual community, to be kind of living together with, or living or being close to, was after I've been practicing meditation, Buddhist meditation, for a couple of years, I felt a strong urge, almost like a need, to be able to practice together with other people who are also practicing. Because when I was practicing together with my community I was living in, my friends and people who I loved and were very dear to me, I felt that somehow that there was a disharmony within myself in relationship to them, and that they couldn't support me or I couldn't be supported in their context in allowing the inner transformation that was happening to me to unfold in the way it was unfolding. And almost like my old friends were kind of keeping me as the old Gil, while I was becoming a new Gil. And so I wanted to be around some people who could kind of support this new possibility that was emerging inside of me. And I noticed that when I went to the San Francisco Zen Center, that when I acted or behaved through my old self, playing my usual mind games and trips about, you know, building up myself, being someone, it wasn't met by anything. You know, I talked to these people there, and I felt more like anything, like they were mirrors, and it was mirrored back to me. And I said, oh, you know, I could see what I was doing so much more clearly. And I loved that. And I just loved this idea of having people around me who are mirroring me in some way and helping me become a better person. And so that was my first motivation, was to live in community, was to have that mirroring of people. And then many years after being involved in various Buddhist communities, it really dawned on me in retrospect how essential it had been to be connected, not necessarily just to community, but to have been connected to other practitioners, and other practitioners who were further along, in a sense, in their practice than I was myself. And I don't think I could have practiced the years of practice without that support of a community. I couldn't have been as dedicated and as committed, as involved, and just I would have been maybe frightened at times from engaging with what the path was calling forth. I might have been not so motivated, because it's hard to stay motivated on one's own. But having a community of people around me that were motivated and supportive was really essential. And people I could talk to about my practice and talk about their practice, and to learn also for me that my own life, my own spiritual life or practice life, was so intimately connected to the practice and life of other people, that somehow my own practice I was doing it not just for myself, but I was also doing it in a sense for the wider community, for myself and the wider community, for my friends and people I was practicing with. And I realized in retrospect that all these reasons were really essential for me being able to engage in that path of practice. So I'm very, very grateful for my experience of community. And in the years that I've been part of this community, I find myself incredibly grateful for this community. That I feel this community also has been a support for me to practice. In a sense, now, since I've been more and more here on the peninsula, this has become my primary sangha, primary spiritual community. And I am very much impressed and in awe and inspired by the commitment and the practice and involvement of so many people who come here and practice here in so many different ways. Some people who come new, you know, come to the introductory class and they listen with big ears and big eyes and take it in, and they go home and they practice it. I can't believe it sometimes. I say these things, they follow your breath, and they come home the next week and they follow their breath. And it's pretty amazing, and I'm so impressed, you know, that people, you know, in the busy life people live, that they take the time and the interest to engage in the practice they do. And then there are people who have been doing this, you know, very seriously for a long time, and people in our community have gone off to Asia to practice or to IMS to practice long periods of time, and people who've dedicated their practice in ways to support this community here. We have. I was sent recently a list of called "Who Does What" in this community, and so I wanted to, you know, kind of like volunteers, and so I was curious how many volunteers we have. So I tried to count. It's a little bit tricky because there's, you know, double, triple names in different slots, but you know, kind of keep track a little bit. And I easily got to 75. And then I told Inez this, and he said, "Oh no, there's not everyone's on that list." And I was amazed, 75, you know, plus people who are volunteering to, you know, offering their goodness or their heart, their involvement. And I feel very, you know, I feel like in terms of our practice together, I feel very supportive. The practice opportunities we have are here because people are offering their labor and time to support to make it happen. So I get buoyed, I get inspired, I get supported from everybody in this community in wonderful ways, and I'm very grateful for it. So there's a kind of a double, maybe at least, you know, two things on my mind today about the community. One is the very important ways in which living in community, being in community, sharing some way with community our life, is very supportive in all directions. We support others through our practice, and others support us. And the second thing that's on my mind is the way in which I'm so grateful for that, and that the gratitude of having a community of people who practice and meditate, who sit together, who are engaged in this kind of way. I think it's a path of practice which is not always very easy. And so to have the support, I think, is very helpful. And I think of, since we came here to Redwood City, and I've seen the growth of our community and all this wonderful activity of people engaged and in all the different ways they are, I had this kind of sense of this, it's kind of like this like bright light in Redwood City that's shining around. And I'm sure there's lots of other bright lights in Redwood City. This is the one I know, and I'm very, very happy and very grateful to be part of it. And I hope that it's something that our community, in some way, in a way that interests you, supportive of you and your engagement in meditation or spiritual life or Buddhist life. And that I have a little hope that also it's a place that cultivates gratitude in people's hearts. Because I think it's really such a beautiful quality to be able to feel grateful and for our lives and the support our lives gets. And the last thing I'll say about our community is I'm very fond that this building has 7 doors in it. And most of the doors are locked, but that's besides the point. The point is that symbolically, 7 doors means to me that we're porous. We're kind of like open to the wider community. And part of that means that people come through whatever door they want, symbolically, and come here and use the place in whatever way that's appropriate for their lives. And I'm realize how much, you know, how wonderful it is to have a community meditation center that's in an urban community, where people who live such diverse lives in urban lives, different, you know, with work and family and all kinds of situations, they can come freely through any of the 7 doors, in a sense. freely come and go, and to use what we have to offer in ways that are supportive for them, and in all the diversities of ways that people can be supported. So I express my gratitude to all of you, and appreciation for this morning and our sit together, and for all the food that's been brought for the potluck. And may all of you enjoy your food and enjoy the company of fellow meditators. Thank you.